Saudi Arabia has been playing a game in the entire Middle East for many, many years. They were the ones who supported the Muslim opposition in Afghanistan. They established the Taliban madrasas and everything. But it is inconceivable to me that Saudi Arabia, who is so dependent upon the U.S. militarily, also cannot have its arm twisted a little bit.
But that brings us up to the next point. Does the United States know what it wants over there? I mean, they say we want democracy, but do they really want democracy that's going to deliver the Muslim Brotherhood?
I think right now the U.S. policy in the Middle East is really weak and confused. I'm sorry to say that. The only silver lining that I see is Kerry's interminable efforts in going back and forth to Israel-Palestine, and this may be an irony because I think the Palestinians are looking at these incredible divisions in the Arab world, not only Sunni and Shia, but now the Sunnis are against each other because the Muslim Brotherhood is Sunni, as is Saudi Arabia, and Turkey supporting the Brotherhood. Saudi Arabia is against it. I think the Palestinians are looking at this situation, and probably the smart ones among them are saying, a pox on all your houses, and let us try to negotiate with Israel. So I think that Kerry is not wrong in going back and forth, because if there is some kind of solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I mean, an incredibly sort of cankerous issue in the region, you know, can help settle accounts a little bit. It's not the only thing that's happening at the moment, but successive Arab regimes, you know, have used this issue to manipulate their constituencies one way or another. But as far as the rest of the region is concerned, I think there is a very simplistic understanding of democracy and the democratic process. I don't think enough thinking is being put into how to build really significant civil society institutions there. And admittedly, Mubarak, you know, chased a few American human rights organizations out. But I see a vacuum there. I mean, nobody wants American military intervention. And understandably, both the American people and the American government are tired of this region. You know, that's very understandable. But noblesse oblige, you know. One has to remain involved in some ways and has to try to push the process further.
Meanwhile, if I can just prevail on you for something a little different, I want to go to Syria for a moment and ask you something. There's always that thing that gets Americans, you just mentioned it, involved in, you know, something. The idea of Obama telling us months ago that if they were using poison gas, that would be a game changer. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing about poison gas once we heard about weapons of mass destruction. Do you think if it's substantiated that we have to go in, that we have to put boots on the ground?
If it is the case that, in fact, there has been poison gas used, and I suspect that this last time it may be, this has to be done at the level of the United Nations. I know everybody is saying, haven't we been here before? Didn't we go to the United Nations Security Council and, you know, get the resolution on the weapons of mass destruction and, you know, hapless Colin Powell, you know, presenting fake images, you know, to the General Assembly? Yeah, I mean, we've been there before. But on the other hand, this is also a moment, you know, when if something like this is documented and there are, you know, laws of, governing the status of civilians in times of war, crimes of war categories, crimes against humanity categories, and if one just sort of stops and puts one's head, you know, in the sand and says, well, okay, we said that, but no, we can't. But the alternatives are not just boots on the ground versus just sort of contradicting oneself every time, you know, saying something and not doing it. The alternatives may really be some things now, like no-fly zones that were successfully installed upon Libya. You know, remember, sure, recall, sure. You know, against Libya. It could be to start sending more multilateral forces to the area surrounding Syria and Turkey, to some of the borders. I mean, Anne-Marie Slaughter had talked about a corridor for safe passage for refugees and the civilian population a long time ago. But I think that a no-fly zone with Security Council approval is going to be one. Safe passage for refugees and intercepting arms delivery. You know, there are a lot of arms coming via Iran, Iraq into Syria. This is the new nexus. So it sounds as if, you know, we've seen it all before, etc. But maybe there are better ways of doing it. And under no circumstances is this the United States' responsibility alone. It has to be done at the level of the world community.